media. As consumers, we are bombarded by it at every turn, like the Incredible Hulk being bombarded by gamma rays. But what makes some media endure, while others are banished to the forgotten black hole of obscurity, never to be heard from again? Who or what decides this? Hetero life mates Steve and Yehel want to know, and they want to know now. This is Obscurity Now.
And what's up, Obscurians? It's time for another episode of Obscurity Now, the show where we take a look at weird and almost forgotten pieces of media that we decide if they should be remembered for all of human history or tossed in the black void of obscurity, never to be heard from again. My name is Steve, and with me, he might be Sunspot's second cousin. It's...
Yael, how are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. Is Sunspot Puerto... I know he's Hispanic. Is he Puerto Rican or, you know, by any chance?
I don't know. I don't know. What do you think? We had a meeting discussing him.
Well, I mean, I just, you know, he's there in the episode for you to relate to. Duh. I just assumed he was your favorite.
I don't. No, I have no idea what he is.
Neither do
I. It's not Puerto Rican, so I don't think he's Puerto Rican.
I see. Well, today we are talking about X-Men related stuff, specifically starting off with the X-Men anime, which is actually just called X-Men, and then they have the Japanese writing underneath the English title. It's not, I mean, I guess it's just sort of like, you know, the street name to call it the X-Men anime. Season 1, Episode 1, The Return. And then we're also going to sort of talk about X-Men 97 at the end of the episode, because the entire freaking internet hasn't talked about it enough.
Finally somebody's discussing.
Yeah, I know. Finally someone on a podcast or YouTube channel is finally talking about X-Men 97. But before we get to that, I want to know, what do you know about this X-Men anime?
I mean, I had definitely heard of it before. I don't know if I had ever seen it. If I did, definitely not the whole thing.
Everything all right? All right. Well, while Yael sees to his dog that's not really his, I'm going to tell you my relationship or experience with the X-Men anime. And I had thought that I had seen this, but I don't think I had. I know I've definitely watched, there's a Punisher one and a Wolverine anime. And I remember watching like the first episodes of those, but I had never seen this one. How about yourself?
No, I mean, like I said, I heard of it. Not sure if I ever saw any of it. Definitely not a lot of it if I saw any of it, though.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Well, we should just jump right into it. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Welcome to your feature presentation.
All right, the X-Men anime, or just X-Men, as I said, that it's also referred to as, premiered in Japan on Animax in April, and then later on G4 in the U.S., October 21st, 2011. Remember G4?
Remember their comeback, quote-unquote, a year or two ago?
I remember they tried, like, to make one, but were you a fan of it back in the day, in the early 2000s?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. Of course.
Yeah, I liked X-Play. I can't really remember any of the others. I remember being annoyed by a lot of the other shows.
Yeah, some of the hosts were, like, real, like, loud and right. In your face, you know?
Right, I remember.
But, yeah, I like.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I liked X-Play a lot, and I like G4 Icons. A lot.
What is G4 Icons?
It was like a little documentary show that they would do on a different, you know, gaming topic. Sometimes it would be like a gaming company, sometimes a game, sometimes, you know, like a famous person, like a Gunpei Yokoi or something in gaming.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, I remember X-Play was on a different channel first, right? Before G4, like, took it over. It was called Tech TV, right?
Wasn't it called like G4 Tech TV?
Well, yeah, see, it was on X-Play was on Tech TV first, then G4 bought it, and it was G4 Tech TV for like a couple of months, and then it was just G4. And that's when they started the and I guess when G4 bought it out, that's when like all their shows were like, hey, we got a nerdy, funny host and like an attractive woman to co-host. That was like their
That was basically every show they do that pairing just about.
Yeah, basically. But anyway, enough about G4. We could probably do a few episodes on that channel or some of those shows someday. But for now, we are back talking about the X-Men anime. And let's see, it's a one season long, 12 episodes. And here's a synopsis. When a mutant high school student named Hisako Ichiki goes missing in the northern part of Japan, her parents ask Professor Xavier for his help. Sensing that the case of Hisako's disappearance is of great importance for mutant kind, he gathers together his X-Men. However, the leader of the X-Men, Cyclops, who had lost his lover, Jean, during battle, refuses to return. I love it how, like, if it doesn't have great importance to mutant kind, then Professor X is just like, nah, we'll let the cops handle it. We'll let the Avengers handle it. Yeah, screw them. this is directed by, you'll actually know some of the stuff these guys have made. Of course, they're all Japanese for the most part. This director is Funimori Kizikai. And he worked on, he directed Afro Samurai, both the series and like the TV movie, Bayonetta, Bloody Fate, and also worked on the Marvel, and it's just called Marvel Anime, the TV series. And this is written by, I would say it's adapted from a story by Warren Ellis, and he also served as the story advisor. He also, I guess, did like sort of like the base story once again for Marvel Anime, the Marvel Blade, Marvel Wolverine anime, Iron Man 3, and G.I. Joe Resolute, which we've actually briefly talked about on previous episodes. And he had a co-writer here, who I guess did all the heavy lifting with the actual screenplay. It's Mitsutaka Hirota. I don't think you have to roll your R's, but I wanted to anyway. And he worked on a few anime series. One, Yael's favorite, Rent-A-Girlfriend, Bayonetta, Bloody Fate, and Eden's Zero. And I haven't seen any of those. Have you ever heard of any of that stuff? Any of it?
I don't think so.
Not even Rent-A-Girlfriend?
No.
Okay.
Fortunately not.
All right. So who are some of the English voice actors, I should say? Because we're watching the dubbed version. I don't know if we have any like hardcore otaku who are listening to this episode. But yeah, we're watching the English dub of the X-Men anime here.
We should mention it is available on archive.org.
Yes.
There's actually two versions up there. There's one that's quote unquote AI upscaled. And then, like, the regular one. And, Steve, they look exactly the same.
Yeah, I thought this one looked good. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean the quality's actually good. You know, I mean, this is from 2011, so it's not, like, from the Dark Ages. It's in 16.9, so.
Right.
Yeah, the quality's fine. I'm going to start with Troy Baker, who plays Sublime / Squid. A lot of these people have been in, like, hundreds of things. A lot of video games, a lot of animated stuff.
Wait, so he was the voice actor of that like squid thing when Beast was like teaching?
I guess so. That's what I got.
And
from
who
it.
The heck is Sublime?
I don't know. I'm just going off what IMDb said.
Okay, all right.
Hey man, I don't know. Maybe that squid is like gets a little leather X suit later on, and
oh, that sounds awesome and hot, by the way. Hot.
Yeah.
But of course, since this is Japanese anime, they had to have something with tentacles in it. It's like written in their Bill of Rights.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyways, he's been in like just tons of things. The Last of Us is probably what he's most known for, I guess. Mm-hmm. Because he's Joel in the Last of Us video game.
Sure.
He was also in Star Trek Lower Decks 2 episodes, but he will not be the last person. So I'm going to just continue here. We've got Jennifer Hale. She plays Jean Grey. She also plays Jean Grey in X-Men 97. And she's played Jean Grey in a bunch of other video games and X-Men related things. but not the original X-Men animated series.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, for a second I thought maybe it was her, but it's not.
Yeah.
Yep, she's been in even more things. She's coming up on almost 500 credits to her name. Yeah.
Save some busy. For the rest of us, Jennifer.
I know, I mean, seriously. Come on. Anyways, again, a lot of video games, a lot of animated stuff. Unlike some of the other people, she also has quite a few live-action credits, mm-hmm. Especially like 15, 20 years ago. She was also in an episode of Star Trek Lower Decks, Lieutenant Durga. Mm-hmm. Everybody is in an episode of Star Trek Lower
except
Decks.
Except us. Except you and me.
Yeah. Up next, we've got Scott Porter, who, well, I forgot who he's playing. And let's see here on my list. Hold on. He is playing, Cyclops. For some reason, I thought, sorry. I have X-Men 97 also up, and I kind of got confused here for a second. So, yeah, anyways, he plays Cyclops. Scott Porter hasn't been in quite as many things, only 67 credits to his name.
Oh, what a loser.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anyways, it's mostly video game stuff for him as well. And no Star Trek stuff, which is probably why he only has 60-something credits to his name, I can only assume, right?
He just hasn't ascended to the upper deck of the Star Trek echelon of voice actors.
There you go. Up next, we've got Steve Blum, who he has 873 credits to his name.
Wow.
That is unreasonable. Mm-hmm. Not a one of them is Star Trek related, but again, a lot of video game stuff, a lot of anime stuff. I thought he was in X-Men 97, but no, he's actually not.
Looks like he's in the new Contra game, maybe? Or is that just a... Yeah, he's in Contra Operation Gulaga or whatever.
Well, I mean, if there's a game coming out, there's a good chance he's in it. Is what it seems
like. Yeah, I see
like.
That.
From, it's Operation how is that pronounced? Galuga?
Why can't it just Galaga? Be Galaga? Yeah, Gallagher.
Wow.
Just smashing watermelons the whole time.
All right, then we've got Danielle Nicolette, who is playing the voice of Storm. I actually did recognize her once I saw her picture from the Flash TV series. She played Cecile Horton, and I want to say she's like in over 100 episodes of that, so she is pretty much a semi series regular on that show. Mm-hmm. She's got a lot of animated stuff to her name as well as live action stuff. Moving right along to Cam Clark. I know this guy's been in a ton of stuff. In fact, I think he's been in a few things that you and I have covered.
Oh, yeah. I'll just go ahead and throw it out there. He's the voice of Liquid Snake from Metal Gear, the original Metal Gear Solid for the PS1. And, of course, Leonardo from the original TMNT.
And he's also additional voices in Star Trek, Starfleet Command 3 and Starfleet Command Volume 2, Empires at War, and Star Trek New Worlds.
Wow.
All right, and then last but not least, we've got Fred Tatasciore, something like that. Anyways, he plays the voice of Beast. He clocks in with 973 credits.
Man, these people—they're gonna reach Frank Welker levels if they keep going.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, he is also the Starfleet Admiral in Star Trek Bridge Crew. He had additional voices in Star Trek Into Darkness, the movie. He played three different characters in Star Trek Prodigy, which is like an ongoing animated series. He plays the voice of Shax in Star Trek Discovery Logs, but also he's the voice of Shax in Star Trek Lower Decks, where he's been in every episode.
Wait, there's a character in Star Trek named Shax?
Mm-hmm.
Shax O'Neal?
I didn't know that there was another Shax in something. Okay. But what's the Shax you're referring to from?
Shaquille O'Neal. Shaq O'Neal.
Well, yeah, but nobody calls him Shax.
I do. We have a very special relationship.
I was going to say, yeah. You're at perfect, like, probably like nipple height form.
I'm like, yo, Shax, how's it going, baby? And he's all, ooh. rips down.
Like, let's go watch Steel.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever you want to do, you're huge.
Yeah. All right, and that is the last of our cast that I'm felt like going over, or we'll be here all day, and the last Star Trek connection as well.
All right, here it comes.
Ah, oh no, we just entered another Star Trek connection.
I forgot to mention, I guess I probably could save it for the end of the episode, but I was on the Cheap Seat Reviews podcast, and they also do Star Trek connections, but they don't have a cool bumper like we do.
So you should just do it raw.
Yeah. Oh God, that sounds awful.
Protection.
Yeah. They just bump raw without protection. So yeah, I guess it's time to jump in to the episode here. So we open with this. I mean, basically, it looks like a city that's being annihilated, and then we see the source of the annihilation, and it's the Phoenix. And Jean tells the X-Men that she is life incarnate. She is the Phoenix. And then Cyclops tries to talk her down. Then she starts throwing like bits of like building and city at all the other X-Men, who are Storm, Wolverine, Beast. And they all dodge it.
Wait a minute. You call Shaq Shax and you call Wolverine Wolvie?
Well, I just wrote Wolvie here to because I was, you know, taking notes and watching at the same time.
It's okay. You just have a lot of you have more special nicknames. And I did see that in your write-up. You wrote Cyclops as Psych. Is that also a little cute nickname you've got for him?
I have me and the X-Men, we have a very special relationship. Very special. So Wolverine and they all dodge the bits and pieces. And then Cyclops tries once again to sort of talk Jean down. And she raises him up with her mind powers and rips off his shirt for some reason. And then I guess she goes into his mind and it's like regular Jean. And she's like, hey, Cyclops, lover, can you please kill me? And of course, he doesn't want to do that. And meanwhile, there are some bad guys watching on. I think we sort of get we see Emma Frost later, I guess. Do you know who it's supposed to be? Is it like the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants or something along those lines?
Yeah, because that was like, wait, wasn't she in the Hellfire Club?
Ah, that's what I meant to say. Yeah, the Hellfire Club. Yeah,
come on,
yeah.
Steve.
This
is why you didn't get invited to the comic book creating company, and I did.
Wait, they don't create comics; they just grade them.
Right, but they invited me because I knew about Hellfire.
Yeah, the people that are ruining comics. Good job. Well, it depends on who you are. Whatever. We see that Emma Frost is somehow involved. And then Jean starts to power up. There's a huge bright light. And then we cut to, it's the same area. Jean is gone, and now it's raining. And Cyclops lets out a big, you know, death cry because now Jean is gone or whatever. We've all seen it a million times in like how many movies and the comics, but whatever. I guess it's no less powerful here. And then
maybe Cyclops is like a big Star Trek fan, and because like when a Klingon warrior dies, the surviving Klingons, they yell around the body to warn. Stovacor does the Klingon afterlife to warn the afterlife that a warrior is coming.
So that's why they do that. I do remember that they do that. Yeah. All right.
It's actually a pretty cool little piece of lore. Like, it fits in with them nicely. Anyway, so Cyclops, Trek mark confirmed.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure. So what were your thoughts with this cold open here? Like, what did you think of the art style? Help me out here.
You know, the art style and the animation, it's not bad by any means, but it is jarring kind of seeing the X-Men drawn in this style, and then not just drawn in the style, but animated in it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it did take me a little bit to kind of get used to it, but I thought it's pretty good. They definitely took some chances with a couple of the designs, particularly Beast. Face.
Yeah, I knew you were going to mention that. And that was actually in the comics for a while. I think they explained it that his mutation, like mutated even more or something.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He became like just more beastly in general.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really like
more animal looking.
Yeah. I didn't really like that design for Beast either, but he goes back to his normal self eventually anyway.
For those that haven't seen it, I mean, it's basically like his nose is more like the, I guess like the nose of a lion.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That was only sort of like, you know, just, I guess, the time.
Yeah,
period.
No, but you're right. You're right. That is something that happened in the comics too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. What did you think about the designs?
Oh, I mean, I thought it looked pretty awesome, like at first. But then there's definitely some, you know, anime-ishness to it. Like, I mean, Wolverine's claws, when you get later on in the episode, like, his claws are ridiculously long and, like, curvy and stuff. And that's just kind of off,
you know,
brand for the character.
It's like 2010s anime is what it is.
Yeah, oh, that's exactly what it is. Yeah, yeah. And we're definitely...
So it's hard to, like... It's almost hard to, like, blame the creators or anything because it is a little weird, but on the other side of the coin, you know, I appreciate that they were like, okay, if we're going to do an X-Men anime, let's do an X-Men anime. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it just depends on what you're in the mood for at the time. Like, I mean, I'm going to say straight up, like, I mean, I definitely wanted to know more after this episode ended.
Yeah, same.
Like, I feel like compared to some of the other Marvel anime, this was one of the better ones because, like, I don't know if it's because maybe Warren Ellis was involved, but like, you know how sometimes anime can get sort of caught up in its own like stylishness. And then you get like a scene, like a 2 to 5 minute scene of one of the characters just riding like a motorcycle for no reason. Like, I'm glad they didn't really do that in this.
They dip into like over stylization on a couple scenes, but it's nothing too bad.
Right.
Nothing
too
egregious.
Exactly. Like that, like at the very beginning here, when Phoenix is talking and it's just like her weird sort of profile over the, I mean, it's very Japanese, but I'm like, I mean, you just sort of have to go with it, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the credits open. I kind of like the theme here. It's very cinematic, maybe more like the movies. What did you think of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's no, you know, X-Men the Animated Series theme, but what is?
Sure, of course.
But yeah, I liked it a lot. It's good.
All right.
Honestly, smart for them to go in a different direction and not try and do something similar.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I feel like this one is maybe more angling towards the movies anyway, because this Storm here is like the Halle Berry Storm, basically. I mean, with her haircut and everything. Yeah, she doesn't look like the Storm from the comics, like, at all, I think. But, you know, maybe she had her haircut like this at one point. I'm not exactly sure.
I do believe she had something pretty close to this at one point. But I'm also pretty sure that happened in the comics because of the movies.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So either way, it's still you know, the Halle Berry Storm.
Sure. So we are now, it is daytime at the X Mansion. Professor X monologues. I think we've all heard this monologue a million times about mutants being accepted, not accepted, whatever, blah, blah, blah. We see shots of the school and the danger room. He mentions how Jean is gone. The professor thinks back to when he comforted some mutant kids. And then he sees like one kid that is sort of like away from all these others, and he tries to reach out to him, but he can't quite get him. And I guess this is supposed to be some sort of visual metaphor for maybe Cyclops, like not rejoining or something. I don't know. What did you think about that?
Excuse me. I think that's exactly what it's supposed to be.
And so now we cut to... I just call her anime girl. I don't know. Is that racist? Anyway.
I mean, she's a girl in an anime.
Exactly. So anime girl, she is running in the snow. She gets attacked by some robots, and they basically trank her all the while some bad guy looks on.
That's a prison term for tranquilized, by the way, folks. Steve comes from... he's had a hard life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've Ubered a couple of times in Compton, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Back
yeah.
when I was an Uber driver. So, yeah.
Steve likes to get with Wolvie, Shax, and Syke and crank up.
That's their street names. That's what they like enemies. To be called by other members of the gang, is all I'm saying. Wolvie, Shax, and Syke. Yeah, yeah. So,
well, now what do they call you?
The S-Man? I don't know.
S-Man?
Yeah, exactly. So we are at the mansion once again, and Professor talks to someone on the phone and says he's looking for an excuse to assemble the old team. So basically, I guess the backstory here is after Gene, as the Phoenix, just sort of, you know, disappeared or whatever, the team kind of broke up for a minute there, and there hasn't...
Everyone's taking a little FMLA, basically, to get their thoughts, their heads together.
Exactly. So the professor then uses the X computer to call the X-Men, basically. And now, I mean, any comments on the X computer or any of that stuff?
Right now I can't remember exactly what the UI that they made for it looked like. But I remember it being a better UI design, fake UI design, than is usually created for these kind of things in movies. And
one weird thing is why did he have to use, like, you know, the internet? Well, couldn't he have just used Cerebro?
Yeah, I don't know. I did think that was a little bit odd, but, you know, maybe because there are times, you know, in the comic book and the previous animated series where Professor X, you know, when he goes into somebody's mind or reaches out to them mentally, if they're not expecting it, he'll apologize
right,
for intruding.
Yeah.
So I assume that that's what it is. Like, it is a bit of an invasion just to hear somebody's voice pop in your head, you know?
Sure, sure. I mean, I can only assume you feel the same way when my voice pops in your head in your dreams, right?
Yes. Trying to get me to come back to your S mansion.
It's time to do another episode, you hell. So now we're on a cruise. Pirates are attacking a cruise ship. I mean, modern day pirates, not like, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean or anything like that.
Yeah,
but Storm is there. And for some reason, does she sound like a Valley Girl to you?
A little bit, like, because she's not putting on like the normal accent mm-hmm. that Storm usually has in most of the animated stuff. And again, that's probably because Halle Berry, you know, just had her regular American accent in the movies.
Well, it's funny because, you know, she tried to do like an African accent in the first one, but I guess the director was like, you should probably stop that.
Yeah. From what I read, it's one of those things where, like, it was such a bad accent that it came off kind of like you're making fun of it.
It was bad. It was. But
you've heard it?
I mean, no, it's in the first movie.
Oh, it's in the whole first movie? Yeah. It's been a long time.
I mean, she doesn't have, like, a lot of lines. Like, I just remember when she talks about, you know, what happens when the lightning strikes the fog? It's terrible,
Steve. This must be even. I think you're just even worse.
I'm just making fun of Halle Berry. That's all. I mean, she's got.
Yours almost turned into a Kofi Kingston Jamaican accent.
Yeah, it did. So anyway, Storm here. She takes out the bad guys, like freezes their boat, basically, and then her cell phone's going off, and she answers the call. Now we're at a forest at night. And Cyclops is there, and he now has long hair, and he looks all emo, which is funny because Wolverine later actually calls him Emo Boy, and he's like staring at the it's sort of like this weird little micro transmitter medallion thing that's going off, right? It's not like a cell phone or anything, right?
Yeah, I thought it was just some kind of special communicator.
Yeah, something that you never really saw in. Like, what I liked, I think in the, you know, original X-Men cartoon, they just sort of talked into the X a couple of times. Like,
that's how I remember it too. Very, again, Star Trek like they tapped a little comm badge because sure. Cyclops is such a
huge Trekker. Mm-hmm, exactly. But anyway, he hears the call and he just sort of stands there looking sad. Now we're at a college and a Beast is lecturing at, you know, some college students. He gets the call too. He like throws like a microphone or something into this aquarium that has a squid in it, and all the students start laughing at Professor McCoy, because that's Beast's real name, you know, because I guess he's saying that a squid is really smart and can talk, and then the squid starts talking. Funny, I guess, or I don't know.
Yeah, I thought this was like so dumb because, you know, McCoy obviously looks like when your teacher's like a giant blue beast, and he tells you, okay, the squid's gonna talk. Okay, fine. I mean, that's not even the strangest thing in this room right now.
I agree 100%.
It could be another mutant for all you know. So I did think it was weird that like they were laughing. You know what's interesting too is we should point out that in at least in episode one, I don't know how it goes later on, but like humans don't really seem to have much of an issue in general with mutants.
Yeah, I think the idea is they've you know, sort of moved on from that, I guess.
Yeah, you know, obviously we'll have to see how it plays out later in the series, but like when Storm uses her powers to save the cruise ship, there's somebody says like, oh, you must be one of the X-Men, and everybody starts like cheering for her.
Right, they're celebrated, much like the members of Youngblood are in the Youngblood universe.
Yeah. right.
That's for you, but Mr. Liefeld.
But these superheroes have like a quarter of the amount of teeth.
Yes, and much better hands and feet, of course. So now we're in airport security. I feel like this joke with Wolverine has been done a million times. But anyway, Wolverine is having a hard time going through airport security. He's standing there shirtless. I feel like they wanted to get as many shirtless dudes into this pilot as much as they could. And then he gets the call. And then he's like, ah, oh, forget about it. I'm going to New York. That's basically, I don't know. What do you think about the old, oh, I'm Wolverine, I can't get through airport security gag?
It has been done to death, but I mean, it was fine. To be honest, I half expected it. I just wish it would have been done like in a funny, like in a, put a different spin on it somehow.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And so now we are back.
Like, you know what? Like maybe he goes through the metal detector and it doesn't go off. And he's like, that's it. I'm going through. Like he almost has a problem with it not going off.
No. Here, I got it. He walks through. It doesn't go off. And he's like looking around. Then he looks at the security guard and she goes, budget cuts.
It's something. I mean, or like, you know, you could have had a scene where he's like preparing, you know, his what he's going to say to them. And, you know, he like gets himself all worked up maybe in the bathroom before he goes to the detector. And then he doesn't get to like say his big speech.
Yeah, that would work too. Yeah, 100%. So now we're back at the X-Mansion. Storm joins Wolverine and the Professor and Beast. They are all just so happy to be there. They just happened to mention that Cyclops, he hasn't shown up yet. Now we are inside the mansion. Professor X shows a picture of the anime girl on a screen, says that she is missing in Japan and they need to find her. I mean, there's really not too much to say about these couple of scenes. Anything else to add?
No, I mean, that's pretty much it.
And now we're back to the site where, you know, Jean Grey disappeared. Wolverine and Storm basically approach Cyclops. And then they cut back real quick to the mansion. Beast is there, and he's talking to Professor X about how the area where she has disappeared is being cloaked somehow, I guess psychically, so they can't use Cerebro to look into it. And they're sort of speculating on you know, why that's going on. Someone also mentioned, I think previously Wolverine was like, hey, Chuck, like, why can't we just send the cops? And then they were just like, oh, well, every detective that looks into it disappears or ends up dead, basically. So they're covering their tracks as for a reason to have the X-Men actually show up in Japan, which is good. I mean, Warren Ellis is a pretty good writer. I don't know if you're familiar with his work or not. But yeah, I'm sure he's not going to let plot holes interfere with his opus. And anyway, we're back to the Phoenix area, and Cyclops says, I can't fight anymore. I have no reason to fight. And this is when Wolverine calls him emo boy. And then Wolverine takes out his massive claws because Cyclops gets mad. And he's like, say your name one more time. And then they're about to fight, but Storm breaks it up. I kind of wanted them to fight. How about yourself? Just a little bit.
I'm kind of glad they didn't, because this is like another trope that them two fighting, especially about something related to Jean Grey. Like, I've seen it done a million times, so I'm kind of glad. I'm sure they fight later on over her, but sure. I'm kind of glad I didn't have to go through it.
I agree with you, but at the same time, like, I kind of, like, once I realized, like, what we were dealing with, like, story-wise, I was like, I bet there's not going to be too much action in this episode, unfortunately. Spoiler alert, I turn out to be right. They sort of tease a fight, but then they don't fight. And then Cyclops remembers when he and Jean were looking up at the stars together at night. And she basically says something that basically makes him change his mind and decide to help. Like, do you remember what it is? Something like, I don't remember. Do you?
No, I don't remember either.
Okay, well, anyway, Jean's memory makes Cyclops change his mind. Cyclops shows up at the last minute. They all board the Blackbird, and it takes off, like, into the sunset, more or less. And that is the end of the pilot episode of the X-Men anime. Did you have anything else to add, sir?
No, not really. I will say by the end of the episode, I definitely, you know, the jarring nature, at least for me, of like them being animated this way had like dissipated, you know.
Yeah, you warm up to it. The only stuff.
And the designs are not bad, really.
No. They're
just different.
Yeah, they're taken from an early 2000s run of X-Men. I wasn't really reading X-Men back then, but this is how they looked, with those sort of blue suits with like the yellowish, which we don't even really get to see very much. But yeah, this is how they looked for a minute. And there was another, like at the beginning when Jean Grey, you know, lifts up Cyclops, or Jean Grey Phoenix lifts up Cyclops and removes his shirt. There's like a weird point where like Cyclops looking sideways and his neck looks like huge and like really long.
Mm-hmm.
Like I really don't like when anime does that either, but luckily we didn't get a whole lot of that.
I don't know why earlier you said that this show had better feet and hands than Rob Liefeld, because like some of the proportions get a little wacky from time to time.
You're right. I apologize, Rob. I apologize. should we jump? Do you want to jump into X-Men 97, or do you want to render our verdict first?
Well, let's render our verdict first. Let's wrap up the anime here.
Okay, here we go. All right, X-Men Velasquez. Do you think that the X-Men anime should be remembered for all of human history? Or tossed in the black void of obscurity, never to be heard from again?
I would say this should be kept. It was a lot better than I expected. I was a little worried at the beginning because when Jean Grey, like, I think she's the very first person that kind of really speaks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she starts saying, I am the whatever of life. Like, it's just like this very, like, it felt like something from, like, a 1960s or 70s. Comic book, you know, mm-hmm. just like very
that
grandiose.
That is how they talked. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, kind of language. I was like, oh God, is it going to be like this the whole time? But it really wasn't. Like the animation is good. And the setup for the story is pretty decent. And, you know, like we both said earlier, left me at least wanting to see what happened next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with most of that. I definitely want to watch more. I almost feel like we probably should have just watched the whole series and then rendered a verdict about
probably.
It. But who has the time for that? I mean, we could still up later.
I think we literally only would have like 10 more episodes.
Yeah, right. And I'm sure they would fly by. But this was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Sometimes for sure. When they hand the reins off to like, you know, Japanese studios, the story ends up being a lot to be desired, but I think Warren Ellis helped out a lot with this. Have you ever actually seen the like the Batman anime one they did a few years ago?
I did see it.
I hated it.
I saw it when it first came out, and I genuinely do not remember whether or not I liked the story or not. I remember thinking the animation was all right.
Like there was stuff in there that looked cool, but the story was trash. And I remember the Joker's voice was really bad, but I think that's more on Warner Brothers because it was the English dub. But yeah, really, Batman goes back to feudal Japan for some reason. it just wasn't good. And I was afraid this might, you know, be along those lines, but it definitely wasn't. Yeah, this is definitely watchable, and I probably will end up watching the whole thing.
I almost watched a little bit more last night, actually.
Nice.
So yeah, I'll probably go back and watch the rest.
All right, so for all those reasons, the X-Men anime shall be remembered.
In accordance to Obscurity Now, the most important streaming YouTube podcast in all of the internet, you shall be remembered. Yes. Good show. Good show.
All right, so now on to the most obscure thing we've ever covered that no one is talking about, X-Men 97, Episode 1. I mean, we're not going to jump into the IMDb. Pretty much everyone knows everything about this show that they want to know. But if this is the future or something and you're confused, X-Men 97 picks up where the original X-Men, the animated series, left off. And there's two episodes available right now on Disney Plus. We both watched the first one. I think you watched both episodes, right? Possibly?
No. Because you only sent me.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay, well then, good. So we're on the same page here. What did you think of X-Men 97?
I loved it. And from people that have watched the second episode that I've spoken to, apparently the second episode is even better. You know, can't really speak to it, but yeah, I thought like it did a really good job of nailing the tone of the 90s show. And for the most part, the animation while still updating it.
Mm-hmm.
I will say like, cause this is obviously it's animated on a computer. So there is a little bit of like, for lack of a better word, like an uncanny valley kind of feel to it at times, because it's, you know, which happens just almost anytime you try to make, you know, something animated on a computer look like regular 2D hand-drawn animation.
Right, and it feels a little weird, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say it feels weird because I think it feels weird because we've seen the original 90s show. So just like in the back of our minds, like subconsciously, we know something's not quite the same, but it's
right.
Hard
and,
to like.
And you and I, you know, grew up with hand-drawn 2D animation. You know, if some kid is checking out X-Men 97 for the first time, it's probably just going to feel perfectly normal to them.
Yeah, I would think so. But I mean, it passes pretty quickly. The story's good. The cast is good for the most part. They brought back a few people from the original 90s. Series like the voice of Rogue is the same person that did Rogue. I tried checking to see like a couple of these other ones, but IMDb is not wanting to load up.
Hmm.
But I know that like the show, like the main showrunner was fired recently.
I was gonna save that for last. It's like, don't worry, people who hate Disney. Disney found a way to screw up this thing that they actually did right by firing their showrunner.
Well, he was like the head writer and showrunner, but they also brought back two of the main showrunners from the original 90s show as well. So okay. I'm not really super worried about it.
We'll just see how it goes, basically.
Yeah, because, I mean, they have people from the original one there. And, you know, as long as the writing keeps up like this, I'm really excited to see the rest of it. I might even get Disney Plus in like 10 weeks when they're all available.
Hey, you can finally start watching The Simpsons because they're on there.
No, I'm just gonna watch.
No, you're X-Men going
the free,
to watch the
free
Simpsons.
Week and then cancel.
The Simpsons.
That's okay. That's all right. I've seen plenty of Simpsons episodes. I'm sure I've seen like hundreds of them.
Yeah, well, you're. supposed to watch them again and quote them to me so I can feel like we're still in the 90s.
I'm busy doing that with Star Trek. Why don't you start watching Star Trek?
I want to. Well, we'll talk about that later. I agree with most of what you said there. And yeah, there is some, like I tried to avoid the other reviews. Like every YouTube channel I follow was basically reviewing this. Mm-hmm. And I actually saw a review from one of our listeners that sort of encapsulated it pretty well. Let me see if I can bring it up. Is that guy? Ken Williams. He said that at times the animation reminded him of, what's that show? I'm looking on his X right now, or Twitter. It's so weird to call it X.
Yeah, you're the only person I've ever heard actually call it X whose last name isn't Musk. What are you doing?
So we're still supposed to call it Twitter? Please, somebody tell me.
Yeah, everybody calls it Twitter. Anyways, what he said was... Ken Williams... Go ahead.
Yeah, it reminded him of that show, Archer. That's what it is. Yes. Especially like Jubilee's eyes. They have like a weird outline around them or something. Oh, here it is. I will read it verbatim here. Why is the animation quality fluting? One moment it looks like the old show. The next, an Archer episode. Why is Professor X in the intro? Why are the bad guys using Mega Man arm cannons? Did Dr. Light go bad? I don't know. I think the arm cannon thing is actually... like, that's what they would have done back in the 90s, because they tried not to show real guns as much as possible. So I don't mind.
Yeah, and I thought it was pretty obvious that those cannons were clearly based. Like, even before they showed the Sentinel, the giant Sentinel arm, I was like, oh, these are based on Sentinel tech, because they look like a little Sentinel-esque. So
that's true.
I didn't have a problem with that at all.
I didn't care about that. But I do feel that at times it did feel a little Archer-esque.
I could totally see that. And I do want to point out what he said was that he meant to type that the quality was fluctuating. Why is the animation quality fluctuating, not fluting? Yeah, there's like piccolo solos in the middle of it. It's really strange, but.
But yeah, why is Professor X in the opening? I mean, maybe they're going to bring him back to life at some point.
I mean... Oh, 100%. Or maybe like they're just with flashbacks.
No,
you know?
Sure.
So I don't really have a problem with it, because, again, it's a continuation of X-Men 97 and Professor. Like, oh, that's one thing we should talk about. So they redid. They didn't just redo the theme song, like an updated version of it, but they redid the full intro from the 90s X-Men show. They just kind of updated a little bit, but it's the same sequences.
Right.
They just redid the animation. Yep. I actually really liked that too. I didn't know that they had done that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was cool. I am sort of interested, like, 'cause you said you've been watching like the, I guess we could call it X-Men 96 at this point, like the previous episodes. How far deep are you into it?
Just like a few episodes.
Oh, because I saw that they added Bishop. Like, I remember like Bishop showed up for like two episodes once, and then went back to the future or whatever.
Yeah, that's how I remembered it too. That there was like a two or three part episode. Like, doesn't he come to help with the Brood? Maybe
the Brood with their sweet ass.
But I didn't remember him being like a regular. But to be fair, like. I'm not sure how much I watched of the last couple seasons.
Oh, yeah. 100. That's why I was going to ask you. I was like, so they've got Bishop now and Morph for some reason. And how sad is Morph in the intro? Like, so they show all the X-Men doing their doing their thing. Wolverine slicing up Sentinels, Gambit throwing his cards. And then they show Morph and he says, pew, 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 with like a little gun. Like, it's so sad. Like,
It is.
He died in the second episode. I remember he came back like as a bad guy, but whatever happened to him after that?
So the way I remember it, and again, I haven't gotten there yet, but was that, You're right. He dies in the second episode, which, by the way, at the time, that was crazy.
Oh, sure. Sure. They did it. And then every other superhero cartoon did it after them.
Well, it was crazy because you didn't see that happen even in live action stuff meant for adults, let alone a kids show.
Sure. Yeah. It's very, very edgy at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, they bring him back and he's bad. And then I'm pretty sure he rejoins the X-Men. By the way, I was looking through here, and in the second to last season, season four, there's a four-part arc with Cable, which is where Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that's where Bishop comes in. Yeah, and I remember watching that too, and I remember the Morlock Christmas thing too, and that's all season four. So we must have watched at least through season four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I remember the Cable ones, very clearly because Cable is one of my favorite mutants, like in the entire, mutant verse, if you want to call it that.
That's why you love Rob Liefeld.
Of course. Well, he just happened to create some of my favorite mutants. I will say that. It was good. I mean, mostly I would say because they had good, solid writing that was very similar to like the original. The original episodes, basically. I don't know. In some ways, like, I was like, oh, why not, like, try to be maybe a little bit more modern with the animations? Like, I don't need, like, throwback and nostalgia in order to enjoy the X-Men. Like, I I understand why Disney is doing it.
I do feel like they did improve and modernize the animation.
Sure,
in some
point.
Ways, like, mm-hmm. Because it's a continuation, I actually think, part of it is clearly, for the nostalgia stuff,
mm-hmm.
but it also makes sense because the series takes place in 1997 and it's supposed to be a continuation of it. So it just kind of helps it to kind of like be more cohesive. If you start watching X-Men from the 92 debut, all the way through to now. But I like some of the stuff that they did to modernize it is when they use the their powers, like whenever they have fight scenes. I noticed, these fight scenes are a lot more intricate. They made the mutants like a lot more powerful, like feel more powerful. Like I don't remember Cyclops coming off like looking this powerful. Like, he uses like his beams to move himself and to not fly, but, to like kind of. A little bit, stuff that he's done in the comics.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Never saw in the.
I definitely like what they did with Cyclops in this. I feel like we didn't really see a
Morph
lot of Gambit. Huh?
Morph 2 got to do some cool stuff.
Yeah, I suppose. But I was going to say, I didn't get to see a lot of Gambit, who was my favorite. I mean, he did a little bit here and there. And that was going to be my one complaint about the X-Men anime, is that there was no Gambit. But
we've only seen one episode of it. So.
Right. It's true. Yeah.
Of both those shows. So we'll, mm-hmm.
Indeed. Of course, if you haven't watched it already, you should definitely go watch X-Men 97. We don't need to render a verdict or anything. We just wanted to talk about X-Men 97 to throw our hat in the ring since everyone else is talking about it.
Yeah. And if you never watched, the original 90s X-Men series, it's on Disney Plus, but it's also available on archive.org if you don't have a Disney Plus subscription. And the quality is pretty good.
Nice.
That's why I've been watching it.
Awesome.
Did you know that I completely forgot about this until I saw it, but like the season 3 finale of X-Men, the animated series, is named X-Men, or excuse me, it's named Weapon X Lies and Videotape.
Oh,
like that movie.
Nice. Oh, so that's funny.
Yeah, there was like a movie, an edgy movie in the 90s called Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
That's,
for the listener.
Yeah, that's Barry Sonnenfeld, I think, is who it was. Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just pretty funny that that they named it after that. And I mean, one of the plot points is like, Wolverine's love affair with Silver Fox in it. I do remember that. But anyway.
Have you gotten to the episode where Wolverine goes to Canada and deals with Alpha Flight?
No, I mean, I am on, I'll tell you which one I'm on. I know I watched the one with Sabretooth already. So yeah, I'm on episode 5.
Oh man, one of my favorite lines of, I don't know why I'm remembering this now. Didn't we already talk about this? When someone is attacking Sabretooth and like in a court or something, and Cyclops is like, they're killing him. And Wolverine's like, good. It cracks me up every time. Like, Wolverine is such a nihilist and everyone loves him. Like, it's the best. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much our show. And hey, if you like X-Men, if you like comic books, the Escape to Earth issue 3 Kickstarter is going on right now. We're almost halfway to our goal. We're about 40%. So if you like what we do here at Obscurity Now and you want to help out, you can help out by buying some comic books. The link to the Kickstarter will be in the description. And I will play the cinematic trailer on our way out.
One last thing, Steve. Please. I did check, and Bishop is in 21 episodes of the original animated series.
Oh, wow.
So he does come.
Yeah, he definitely comes back. And I would say I prefer, I don't know, this is just me, but like I like the original like long hair Bishop style haircut instead of the he like has a flat top now in the X-Men 97 or something.
Yeah. And actually, you know what? I apologize. He's not in 21 episodes. What it is that the guy that voices him is in 21. However, but Bishop is in 2 episodes in season 1, which is the episode that we were thinking of. Mm-hmm. But then in season 2, he comes back for 2 more episodes. Mm-hmm. And then in season 4, he's in 1, 2, 3, 4. He's in 5 episodes. So, yeah, okay. he becomes a reoccurring character.
Okay, cool. All right, everyone. Well, that is our show. Make sure you join us next Sunday as we continue to unearth more obscure media only on Obscurity Now. We'll see you next Sunday.
I'm having a weird, weird day. The name's Adam. Where I'm from, I'm known as the Zero Thief. Depending on who you ask, some might say I'm the best thief. But believe it or not, even the best screws up every once in a while. And that's what I did, and I had to make a fast getaway. I ended up crash landing on this bizarre planet. Turns out, I didn't get away fast enough. These winged freaks followed me here.
It's just us here, Zero Thief, on this empty backwards planet. So start talking, either to me or my blade.
Okay, I do have something to tell you. It's about the planet. It's not that empty. Come on, man. I thought you were gonna duck. Cut me loose. Cut me loose. Behind you. Whoa. Ah! Thought I was done for. It was gonna be a light snack for a snarling creature. But then, she showed up, riding on the back of one of those monsters like it was nothing. And with a wave of her hand, the other razor-toothed beast just stomped away. I'd never seen anyone like her before in my life. I thought I'd say something clever. Thanks, have you seen my ship? She gave me a look that said more than words ever could, because I think she was trying to read my mind or something. And from there, things just got even weirder. Issue 3, The Dinosaur Stampede. Crowdfunding now, only on Kickstarter. Get it now before it's extinct. You've been enjoying Obscurity Now, a podcast that's recorded live to tape and streamed to Twitch and YouTube. Subscribe so you never miss an episode or hilarious quip. Take us with you by following the download links provided in the show notes to wherever you get podcasts. And take notice of our various social media links if that's what you're into. I'm not here to judge. And make sure you join us live next week at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, as we continue to discuss more obscure media only on Obscurity Now. Now.